The Chris and Steph Podcast.
Chris and Steph.
And good morning. Hello, Friday. Hello, Steph.
Hey, Chris. How are you going?
Oh, I'm so ready for this today.
Are you ready for Friday, or are you ready for Friday to be wrapping up and the weekend to kick off?
I think maybe a bit of that second one that you just said there.
Column A, a little from column B.
Friday wrapping up, weekend around the corner. Got a vote tomorrow. Voting tomorrow.
Sausage sizzle day.
Jeez, you better have your sausage sizzles out, polling stations, or otherwise you're going to have some angry announcers on your hands again.
Last year there was a wrap from us. mostly from me. I was severely underwhelmed.
Yes.
By the lack of sizzling that was happening at the
election. Lack of sizzling, yeah.
And it ruined my whole weekend, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I know. No, it ruined the whole week afterwards.
Oh, the last 12 months has been me complaining about the lack of sausage sizzle at the election day. Don't get me wrong. It was something that hurt my soul.
It's been a tough 12 months, all because of lack of sausage sizzle. So make sure you do the right thing. Put on a Barbie this weekend.
Do you see me there? Just, you know, Steph, I've got a sausage ready for you.
Ready for you. Ready to go. Very soon, we'll talk about an interesting story in about 20 minutes. The age at which men become boring.
Yeah, there is. Oh. I can pinpoint the most boring age for a man to be.
You can actually narrow it down to an exact age.
Yeah, when you're at your most boring, gentlemen.
All right, I feel an interesting targeted story coming up.
What show are you again, Chris?
I will reveal once you tell the story. I'll reveal all.
Making statistical information sound entertaining. Now, stats entertainment. Get it?
All right. I want to bring some stats to the table this morning about which age men are the most boring.
Oh, here we go.
When they reach their boring peak.
Their boring peak.
Okay. So, apparently, new research is showing that men don't sort of age gradually, become sort of some Bond-like character where they're all like sexy and whatnot in their late 30s.
I'm not going for James Bond. I'm going for more Alan Bond. That's my current progression.
Well, you're probably heading towards the most boring age of 39.
39 is the boring age.
It's the boring age for men. This is coming from Airbnb. They surveyed a whole bunch of people to try to work out the optimum age for boredom and sort of most exciting sort of time of your life.
Yeah, right, okay.
So apparently 27 is the age at which people are most likely to be trekking across the desert, dancing on bar counters and, you know, taking out, bungee jumping or jumping out of planes.
The number of guys I know who've been dancing on bar counters
and trekking across the desert,
so many.
Well, people become more dull as they take on more responsibility. How unsurprising, according to this survey.
Really.
And I know that you're thinking that this is an attack on you. However, unfortunately, ladies, I have some bad news for you.
Yours is from 25 to 69.
Because you hit your boring peak early, Chris. Women are most boring at the age of 35, according to these statistics.
35.
So there you go. However, after 50, all of this changes when people become open to new experiences once again. So
cougars. Is that what you're getting at? Cougars after?
Getting at cougars.
Because then they become exciting.
Oh, cougars exciting, Chris. Do you find cougars exciting, Chris? Is that your ideal or epitome of excitement?
I'm just saying that, you know, they're getting out there, they're trying new things, they're doing different stuff. That's all. That they're living life. They're living life to the fullest, man.
At 50.
At 50? Yeah, well, you got it.
Well, you're in the boring age now, so,
I'm in the boring age now.
Yeah.
Give it a couple of years, mate.
Nearly.
So which woman wrote this report exactly?
Well, it doesn't
and
put women in a great light.
And
women are apparently
single?
Boring before men.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's... I can understand that. So, actually, does that put you in a... Between our ages, does that... Who reaches the boring age first, yourself
even,
or me?
I haven't even reached the peak age. I haven't even reached, like, the most exciting age.
When's your most exciting age?
Next year, 27.
27?
27.
Yo, you got a lot of stuff to change before that.
Got to trek across the desert before then.
What bars are you going to be dancing on this weekend? That's content. Hashtag content on the website.
I couldn't even get up onto a bar. I'd be like, can I get a hand over here? Does anyone have a step ladder?
Can somebody lift
Turn
me?
Turn down the music. I can't think when I'm trying to dance on this
on this bar. Give me some room. People start putting your drinks on the bar. I'm trying to dance here. Thanks very much.
Well, I have been thinking about taking up crocheting. Like, I crochet anyway, but, like, more, like, toys and animals I've been wanting to crochet. So I don't know if that sort of factors into the excitement factor. Trying new things.
If that's your excitement peak, I'd hate to see what the other years previously were before that. Do you like Scrabble, Steph?
Not overly. I'm not a huge Scrabble player.
I've never been a huge... Actually, board games as a whole, hate them.
You're too competitive to deal with that.
Yes, no, I don't like what it turns me into.
Yeah, you're a monster.
Thank you. That is the nicest thing you've ever said about me, and that's saying a lot.
It's probably the nicest thing I've said this morning.
but apparently men are better at Scrabble than the ladies.
Why would you say this?
This is according to a new study out of the University of Miami. The reason behind it is they believe that women are less inclined to spend their time honing a skill that is pretty useless.
Redundant skills, there's
no real purpose outside of the game to have those skills, to know how to get a triple word score and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, and everything has spell check now, so...
And everything has spell check now.
Spelling a bit redundant.
That's right. But on the whole, they found that men were more likely to hone their skills in something that is technically not useful anywhere else. And as such, for the past 10, I think, is it? The 10 last Scrabble World Champions have all been men. So
There you go. This doesn't surprise me too much, and I don't want to sort of blanket things either. But, like, yeah. I do understand that maybe, you know, there is a larger community of men playing maybe board games or video games and things, maybe because of that time spent learning. Not necessarily that it's, you know, that women can't be fantastic at it or couldn't be a champion at it. As you said, it's just one of those things that you do see sort of... more men playing those sorts of games.
The study went on to say that both men and women, if they spent the same amount of time playing it and studying it, they would do exactly
like
the same.
Men have bigger brains and more manpower, so they're smarter. Right. It's not that.
Let's not cross that
learning.
Out yet. I mean, that is still on the table.
We can cross that out.
Fortune Cookie Friday.
Let's do Fortune Cookie Friday now on 13, 12, 16, Steph.
Yeah, pretty easy game. All you have to do, give us a call, 13, 12, 16, and we open a fortune cookie for you. We read that cookie, and hopefully that gives you some guidance as to what the weekend might have in store for you.
Yeah, maybe give you a bit of direction, like what should you be doing, or what action should you take, or how should you live your life going into the weekend?
Yeah, especially if you've got a big decision coming up, or you need some guidance. I mean, we are in no way qualified to give you that, but the cookie might help.
We don't have many qualifications,
and that's not
one of them.
That's why we're here.
13, 12, 16, if you want a fortune cookie. Steph, would you like a fortune cookie?
Yes, please.
All right, let's crack one open. You will be rewarded for being a good listener in the next week.
I have never been a good listener in my life.
Well, maybe now's the time to be a good listener. You'll be rewarded in the next week.
Cool, I like that.
For being a good...
For listening.
Well, you ordered new headphones. Like, that
true.
Could be it. You got new headphones for the studio. So
I did. I'm sure that's it.
That's it.
But,
that's what it'll be.
Yeah, spot on.
Spot on. There you go. A bit of backstory for you.
Would you like a cookie?
I'd love one. Yeah, that'd be great.
Interesting. Good news of a long-awaited event will soon arrive.
Good news of a long-awaited
event will soon arise.
Arise or arrive?
Arrive.
Arrive.
So, good news of a long-awaited event. Is there any artists that you've been wanting to see, maybe, that could be coming to the country? Maybe a friend's going to get engaged or something? Or someone's going to give a baby announcement over the next few days?
Those aren't the sort of things I'd be hanging out for.
No?
So it's
good news of a long-awaited event will soon arrive.
That is a good question.
If you get an event invite over the next, like, few days, I want to know about it.
You'll see it first in the facey. I'll put it up. I'll let you know. An event's coming up. I'm intrigued.
So am I. I think that sounds very interesting.
If you want a fortune cookie, 13, 12, 16, the phone lines are open. We will crack them open to and deliver fortunes for your weekend. What could the weekend bring to you? Maybe an event that you've been waiting on.
That you don't know what that event could be yet.
I'm intrigued, however. If something happens...
I know, I'll feel so... Like, I'm glad we're recording this moment, because if I've seen the future...
I'll be bringing this to Monday's show going, you know what? You were so on the money with that.
Yeah.
13, 12, 16, Ring if you want a fortune cookie open for you now.
Fortune Cookie Friday.
However, now on 13, 12, 16, Fortune Cookie Friday.
Yeah, it's a simple game. You call up 13, 12, 16 and we read your fortune for the weekend to come.
Simple. We try and, you know, give you a bit of direction, let you know what you could maybe expect.
Yeah, just a bit of guidance for the weekend, I think.
A little bit of guidance. I think we've got this morning Olivia on 13, 12, 16. How is your morning going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, we're
good. Going really well. Are you in the market for a bit of a fortune cookie?
Oh, yes, please.
All right. Would you now, here's your choice this morning. Would you rather one from myself or from Steph? Because we both provide a different quality cookie. So who would you go with?
Can I go with Steph?
Okay, all right.
Sure.
Fair pick. Here we go. Let's see what it says.
Beauty surrounds you because you create it.
Oh, wow. That is the girliest fortune cookie I've ever heard.
It was very effeminate.
That's very,
well,
wow.
Well, no, let's dive into this.
Say that again.
Beauty surrounds you because you create it.
Okay.
Are you much of an artist or are you in the beauty industry or anything?
No, but I like my photography.
You like your photography. Oh, okay. So maybe this weekend could be a promising weekend to get the camera out and take some photos.
Sunny conditions. You'll have some good light.
You know, it'd be a beautiful spring day.
Is it going to be warm?
Well, we can't guarantee that.
We can't guarantee that, but...
11 for the top Saturday, 14 for the top Sunday.
The camera won't mind if it's not warm.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, hopefully that fortune cookie serves you well. You have a good weekend, okay?
Thank you very much.
There we go. I'm not sure. I feel 50% success on that one.
Yeah, I feel great success on that. You know, but it's not up to us. It is the cookies. You're right. Let's, you know, put the blame on the cookies. When we do well, we take, you know, all the praise and accolations. But when it's not great, we blame it on the cookies.
We can't be blamed. You're absolutely right. Yeah. The ownership of the blame belongs in that person in the factory who's writing the cookies and sending them out.
Exactly.
It's their fault, mate.
Exactly.
Fortune Cookie Friday back next week. Thank you very much, Olivia. Next, world's biggest sandcastle. Where is it? How big is it? And who's getting ready to knock it down? I know I'd be. Wouldn't that be good? World's biggest sandcastle?
Yeah, just destroying that.
We'll do that soon. Chris
You're
and Steph.
Kid.
Get up with Chris and Steph.
Let's talk sandcastles. I know we love talking sandcastles on this show. There's a new world record attempt. The world's biggest sandcastle has just been completed in Germany in the city of Duisburg. It is 16.68 metres high. 16.68 metres high. Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. How big's that, do you reckon that'd be like to the second story window of somewhere?
I reckon this is
higher.
I reckon it's four stories.
Yeah.
Maybe three stories, but I reckon it's twice of what we're sitting in here.
For those playing along at home.
For those who know this building and come in every day. But I reckon it's about four stories high. But it took, and get this, a team of sand artists from 10 countries around the world spent 3 weeks making this skyscraper.
You wouldn't want a windy day, would you?
No way, no. It's officially been recognised by the Guinness World Records book as the tallest sandcastle in the world. Guess how much sand? Take
how
a guess. 3,860 tons of sand were used to make it, which is 1,000 tons more than last year when they broke that record.
Do you reckon those kids listening at the moment who are like, nothing. I could beat that.
I could do that.
The beach.
Next time I go to the beach, yeah. I'll give it a try.
World record attempt.
Absolutely.
Easy.
It's got, I mean, and who becomes a sand artist as their everyday job, by the way? What a cool job.
I used to live on the Sunshine Coast for a while and a lot of the restaurants are on the, like, virtually
on the beach. Yeah.
And there's so many sand artists, they just, like, make these amazing sculptures whilst you eat your dinner. And
really?
Yeah, so you get to watch them and they line little candles up in each of the windows and they make big hotel things and, like, towers and castles.
Can you make much of a living out of being a sand artist? Does it pay well?
Well, I dare say the restaurants would probably give you...
Yes, all right, then fork out for
it. Yeah, maybe a little bit. And then people walking past will put some money in your hat. I suppose it's up there with busking.
I pity the person who attempts to knock the sandcastle down because they'll probably be taken with it because it is just that big. I mean, you'd take a lot of force to knock it down and then it would come down and probably take you with it.
Yeah, I wonder how they do that.
That's a good question. That's for another show to handle. But... beautiful, just an absolutely beautiful sculpture and took 3 weeks to make, so good on them. That is your Sandcastle chat this morning. We're now up to date. Get up.
Yeah. Get Up with Chris and Steph.
Check it out.
Turn it on, turn it up, you're my radio.
2 minutes after 8 on your Friday morning, excited for that weekend, which is just around the corner. However, on 13, 12, 16, awesome finds. Have you found something awesome? This girl in the UK, 7-year-old Matilda Jones, took a dip in the Cornwall Dosmary Pool where she found a sword, a 1.2-metre sword. This pond is part of legend. It's said to be the resting place of King Arthur's legendary Excalibur. So
have they done, like, testing on the sword to find out if it is, like, if it's just a big prank or if she is the new, like, Queen
of England. Well, it's believed that the actual sword may have been a prop from a movie that was filming in that area years ago. So they believe it might be a movie prop. But
either way,
which story do you want to believe? Yeah. Do you want to believe that you've pulled out an Excalibur sword from the pond, or it's just a movie set sword? So I'll go with the legendary one.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. What awesome thing have you found? Awesome finds, 13, 12, 16.
So what are you searching for? Give us an example.
Anything that's awesome. I think I've told you the story, Steph. I'm not sure if I've said it out loud on air, but when I found the ring as a kid, the wedding ring.
Yes, you have told me this one.
I found a really, what looked to be an expensive diamond ring.
Yeah.
And found it in the gutter walking home from school one day. And I went to a mate's place and showed his mum and said, "Hey, look at this. I found this. What do you reckon?" And she said, "Oh, I'll just hold on to that for you." Never saw it again.
I'm sure that's
Shonky.
Because she brought it into police and she did all the right things.
I'm sure she did the right thing.
So what have you found?
Yeah, anything awesome. Anything
cool.
Awesome
yeah,
that you
like
found.
That.
It can be, you know, something valuable. It can just be something weird or different.
Okay.
13, 12, 16.
Love it.
Awesome finds. However, now, 13, 12, 16, awesome finds. What awesome thing have you found?
Like the girl who found a sword in a lake.
Oh, 7-year-old Matilda Jones went for a dip in Cornwall's Dosmary Pool. That is the legendary resting place of King Arthur's Excalibur sword. According to legend and myth and whatnot.
Yeah.
What has the legend go? If you pull out the sword, you're the rightful king, queen of the country. Turns out it may not be Excalibur. It may just be a movie set sword that was left there.
But still super cool.
So, 1.2-metre sword.
I'd be taking my place on the throne, just going to...
Yeah, when you just claim ownership, I'll take care of things now. But awesome finds. What have you found that's pretty awesome, no matter what it is? Could be a sword. Who do we have? We've got Jack on 13, 12, 16. What was it for you? What did you find?
Oh, I was out at OFA with OFA, a metal detector and pan, and just looking for a gold. Found a few flakes and then found one that was about a gram.
Are you kidding? I mean, the legendary gold panning area out at Ophir, and you did find some gold?
Yeah, you can get a little bit. And I've even been on YouTube. There's heaps of videos. People have bought out big equipment there and hang around all the time. So, yeah, you just walk around for a bit. You sort of go a bit further down the creek where there's a bit more runoff. And, yeah, panning, you can pretty much always find a flake or two. But
look at the hot tip. And it's not fool's gold, it's real gold that you found?
Actual gold?
Yeah. It's perfect. It's worth a bit, but... Yeah, it takes a lot, like 12 hours to find it all.
You got to work for it.
Yeah.
Cool. We appreciate a millionaire finding the time to call in to the show this morning and talk to us. So all the best for your riches and your wealth, okay, mate?
Cheers, guys.
Thank you very much. I never realised that about Ophir until I went out last weekend.
That people go gold panning and stuff out there?
Didn't realise there was a gold area. And then I said, there's this old bloke walking along the creek bed just looking at stuff. There's this other couple who are fossicking through rocks and stuff. It is a thing. It's a legitimate thing.
I'm trying to figure out what a gram of gold might be worth. It's not much. I think it's like 50 bucks.
Oh, well, that's still 50 bucks at the end of the day. Not going to say no to that.
No, not at all. But it's really cool, though, to find gold.
But what Jack's done is he's headed out with the metal detector and the gold panner and everything. So he's got the equipment. He's ready to go.
Yeah, definitely. That's how to do it.
In 12 hours.
12 hours.
That's
and
a
all
long
your gear.
Day.
I don't know if it's worth your $50 uh-huh. worth of gold, but you probably find a bit over time.
Favourite thing about is Lego, Steph.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely love Lego. And recently they posted a job listing seeking designers to help create an animated Lego figures, you know, for their British theme park.
Oh, really? Theme park. Love it.
So they're looking for someone for the right job. And they received an application that said, I am the man for the job because I have lots of experience. Now, this note was actually written by Stanley Boland, handwritten note, who is 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
He decided to apply for the job. He said, whilst they were looking for someone with experience in product design, IT design, he said that he actually had a great interest and knowledge about Lego and Lego creation. In fact, he often would hide his box of Lego from his brother, so he knew that he had, you know, a lot of the skills required to be
absolutely
a Lego designer.
He took the initiative.
Now, the theme park was actually so impressed with his note that they decided to write back to him.
Ooh, okay, good, good, excellent. Hopefully it's positive.
Yeah, well, they said loving Lego is the first step to being a model maker, so it certainly sounds like you'll be perfect for the job. Once you finish school, of course.
Got it. So, you know, they're still keen to have him on board, but, you know, wait a couple of years, get the experience under your belt.
Well, they actually invited young Stanley to go out to the Legoland and help out for the day. He got to shadow an experienced staff member out there.
No way.
And help with do the checks and repairs on the theme park.
So, the checks and repairs.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So they've said that they're looking forward to Stanley's job application once again when he's a little bit older.
Good.
Too cute.
Wouldn't that be awesome if now, years down the track, that is the thing that sets the wheels in motion to get him into that role where he could be an engineer and then like work in Lego or something like that
in the
future.
Ideal?
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Fancy just thinking, oh, I could do that job at 6 years old.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why not? Apply for the job.
Sorry, Mum. Sorry, Dad. Looking to move on from the family. Yep. And I think it's ready for me to leave now.
Do you think they provide a Lego house?
Oh, good question. Thanks.
That was the Chris and Steph podcast. Thanks for listening, whoever you are.